Welcome into another Saturday edition of The Beacon.
Cleaning.
We're going to have you start doing those.
I know. You're getting punchy over there.
I'm telling you. I was flying on a plane, and I have Lincoln, who's a guide dog, you know, certified guide dog. And there was a woman who came up from Florida with me, and she had a guide dog in training.
Aww.
And it was a little 8-year old.
8 years old?
8 month old. Oh. I'm sorry. 8 month old little Labrador puppy.
Oh, baby.
And her name was Punky.
Oh, my God.
And Punky was so sweet and just as well behaved as Lincoln.
Oh, that's so great. I love those puppies in training.
They are so,
so
good.
Precious,
you know?
I know.
I even like it when they're smaller and you get that puppy breath and those sharp teeth and all that good stuff.
I know. They're so sweet.
But.
Such good companions.
Good companions. We got a full show, most of it internal.
Yeah.
With the exception of our first guest.
Yes, absolutely.
He's a Canadian researcher, and he is out of the Children's Hospital.
Oh.
Up in Canada, in Toronto.
We've had a couple of Canadians on this month.
We have.
Good for us branching out.
And his research has been in the area of curing corneal. What was it?
Anesthesia.
Corneal anesthesia, which means the eye doesn't move. And he has no sensation in it.
Okay.
And it's because of nerves.
Interesting.
And he explains about nerve grafting and how that's all going to work
it's
to
so
help people out.
Fascinating.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's really a cool thing.
Awesome.
And then
we got our friend Sandy Murillo, who's going to be giving us another view of hers from Sandy's View.
Right.
Another interesting topic, as always.
Which is the title of her blog that she features in our Beam newsletter from the Chicago Lighthouse.
Absolutely.
And I can't say enough about her, because she is absolutely terrific. And then
then you've got
do we have the Mediocre 15 this week?
No Mediocre 15. I'm actually going to talk about my favorite items at Trader Joe's.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
now?
I am. I really am, because I love Trader Joe's, and it's an affordable alternative to even traditional grocery stores.
Right.
I mean, yes, you've got your kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Your big healthy grocery store that sort of dominates the market, you know.
Right.
But, it's pricey, and people, it's not accessible to everybody again. So Trader Joe's is accessible, and it's actually even more affordable than most traditional grocery stores. So I'm going to be going over my list of favorite things from TJ's.
That's cool. Yeah. That sounds good. And then finally, of course,
we've got our friend Tom and Brian.
We will be back and then getting more information about nerve grafting right here on The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Hey, Mom, why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. The fastest and most convenient way to apply is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Welcome into our program. This morning we're going to talk.
1 in 6 of the wounded U.S. soldiers evacuated from Iraq and Afghanistan battle zones suffered eye injuries. That's the highest rate of eye injuries since the Civil War. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, part of the Library of Congress, is stepping up to help. NLS works with military hospitals, rehab centers, and groups such as the Blinded Veterans Association to make sure that service members who have sacrificed so much for their country can still experience the pleasures of reading. Through the free NLS Talking Book Program, eligible veterans have access to thousands of bestsellers, biographies, westerns, self-help books, and more, and a variety of magazines. Veterans receive priority service from NLS, but any U.S. resident who is blind, has low vision, or cannot hold a book because of a physical illness or disability may sign up for the program. To learn more about what NLS can do for you or a friend or loved one, visit www.loc.gov/NLS or call 1-888-NLS-READ.
Talk about... let me introduce the guest first here, because I want to ask him a pointed question that if I ask it first and then go to him, you won't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Dr. Ali, who is with the Children's Hospital up in Toronto. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell me now, the affliction that we're talking about, the has to deal with the cornea, which is kind of opposite of what we deal with. We talk a lot about retinal problems down on the program here. But I'd like to get more information about this, because I was mentioning to you off the air that I had known somebody who had this affliction. Is it a widely known affliction of the eye, or is it basically something that's kind of restricted to a small number of people?
It's relatively rare.
Okay. Can you explain a little bit about it, and then how you went about your research? It has to do, I know, with the nerve ending, doesn't it? Something.
That's right.
Now, was it from the? Is the nerve taken from one eye to the other, or is it removed from another part of the body?
The nerve. So that when the cornea has no feeling, you have to give it some sensation. So the nerve that we use, it comes from the leg, mm-hmm. It's called the sural nerve. And then we connect it to the eye that's affected to another nerve somewhere else on the face.
Okay.
That has feeling. And then the nerves grow down this nerve graft and into the eye.
Okay, let's talk about the disease itself now. Does it show up primarily in children as something that could be, that would have to be dealt with?
It shows up in both adults and children. In children, it can show up from birth. Well, because of an injury to the head or a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And in adults, its most common cause is actually from herpes simplex, a viral infection of the eyes.
Right.
It's a cold sore virus. And they can also get it from either brain tumors or from injuries to the head.
What made you take an interest in this to actually work on it and come up with a solution to helping correct the problem?
I've looked after a number of children with this problem, and what happens is because of the lack of feeling, they get infections, they can get scarring, and they get loss of sight, and it's usually gradual over many, many years.
Okay.
And they're very difficult to treat by normal means, so I was always looking for a better way to treat this.
Okay, so there's absolutely no feeling at all in the cornea.
There's a range. There's some people who have reduced sensation, but the ones that are most severely affected have no feeling at all.
Now, how does that affect their vision? In which way does it hinder them to see, or does it?
What happens is when you have any sort of minor scratch or injury, it can leave scarring, and it can get infected very easily because it doesn't come to attention because there's no pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lack of nerve sensation also affects the healing. So you end up getting a lot of scarring on the cornea,
okay.
And that blocks the passage of light into the eye.
Okay.
And that's how it reduces vision.
When you do the procedures that you do with the nerve grafting, would somebody need to, if they do have a scarred cornea in there, would they need to do like an artificial corneal implant, or is there some way to let them continue to use the cornea that they originally were born with?
So what we've done is when they have a lot of scarring, they would need to have a corneal transplant.
Mm-hmm.
But without any feeling, the corneal transplant doesn't heal properly.
Okay.
We have had one patient now who's had a transplant after our procedure, and it's been going well.
So
it's in restoration of sight.
So you got your fingers crossed that it's gonna continue to show progress and continue to make.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah. How many patients have you had that you've actually done the nerve grafting on?
Nine.
And what kind of age ranges are we looking at?
Between about 3 and the oldest is in mid-30s.
Mid-30s? Oh, okay. So you run the whole gamut then, from childhood right on up through adulthood and that. Where do you see the research that you've done? Where do you see it going, and how widespread do you think it's going to become?
The research, what we're trying to look at right now, I guess in the patients that we've treated, we were trying to see how the nerves actually grow in the eyes, so we're taking images there and trying to figure out how they perceive what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the area in which you take the nerves from is on the forehead, for example, in most of the patients, but they end up eventually feeling in the eye. So that's really interesting how the brain is able to determine that it's the eye that sensation is coming from, even though the nerve is situated in the forehead. And we're also looking at different models of nerve growth to see exactly how this process happens in the eye.
How long have you been doing this research?
We've been 2 years now.
2 years? What kind of a tracking are you looking for over how many years before you actually present it as a, you know, like in America to the Food and Drug Administration to become an accepted procedure?
It's been published scientifically. I don't think it does not need to go to the FDA as a surgical procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been presented internationally. I don't believe it needs to go to the FDA for it to be done there. There's no special device that's involved, really.
Okay, so
it's more of a surgical technique.
I see. When you, because you've done it for 2 years and you've seen the results of the nerve grafting, could it change over a period of time? Would the patient need an additional nerve grafting later?
Well, we've had one patient who had some initial growth and decreased, and that's one of them. The others, some of them have been recently, so they're still improving. But of the others that have been done in the past, they've all maintained what they've had initially. Maintained what they've achieved.
What they've achieved. The vision that the patient has prior to the procedure, is it any less, or does it any less than it would be after the procedure?
That hasn't happened. So everyone has been the same or improved slightly.
Wow, that's very interesting. You've been doing this now for 2 years, and it's up at the Children's Hospital in Toronto. Well, Dr. Ali,
right.
I really appreciate you taking time to visit with us and talk to us about this procedure. Do you know if it's been done here in the States at all?
I think there's some groups that are interested. I haven't heard of anyone doing the full case yet.
I see.
But I'm sure it's going to be soon.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, and I wish you continued success with the procedure, and that it, you know, it proves to eliminate another eye disease or another eye problem.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
And this show is The Beacon. I'm Bill Jurin.
If you enjoy listening to The Beacon, why not become part of the family? You can tell our audience about your product or service at a reasonable cost. We will even help you produce your message in a way that will capture our listeners' ear for you. By advertising on The Beacon, you will not only reach thousands of people who need and want your product or service, don't have an agency, or wouldn't know the first thing about producing a radio commercial, let The Beacon staff help you write and produce your message. Now that the economy is picking up and people are spending more on things they need, this is the perfect opportunity for you to get the word out. For more information and a free consultation, just call Bill Jurek at 312-997-3678 or email Bill at bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org. Come on, join the Beacon family and increase your sales by reaching an audience that really wants to hear your message. Call today at 312-997-3678. Again, that's 312-997-3678 or bill.jurek@chicagolighthouse.org.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance. If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
Welcome back to The Beacon.
I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And coming up here is a friend of ours who is not only a super terrific blogger.
She is.
She's a great associate producer. And we're talking about Sandra Murillo. But before that, I want to let everybody know that The Beacon can once again be heard on Wednesday nights right here on Chris Radio.
Cool.
So if you miss any of the program that you like, you know, like the list that you had or anything, you can get them off of our archives shows or off the Facebook and the Twitter.
Yeah.
And then you can also get, you know, hear the show again on Wednesday if you want to, if you'd rather do it that way.
Awesome.
That. Some terrific information that you provide.
Thank you.
About healthy eating.
Yes.
And what else can I say? We're on ACB Radio. And that's about it.
Cool.
I think that's cool. And we're streaming again.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We
we're
are?
Streaming again. Yeah. They finally... I won't go into it.
Yeah.
But anyway...
it's a whole other topic.
Sandra Murillo.
Yes.
She's always got something interesting to say. And we're going to check in with her. Well, what is going on with me? Must be this coffee this morning.
You spilled half of this on you, so it can't really be the coffee.
Oh, thanks.
I'm just saying.
You're going to let all my little secrets out, don't you?
That's right.
Good morning, everyone. This is another edition of Sandy's View. As you have probably heard, this year marks the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA. And the city of Chicago and a lot of other cities across the United States are getting involved in different activities to promote accessibility for people with disabilities. This morning I'm joined by Zabra Goldman. She's the director of one of the tours taking place at the Chicago Architecture Foundation. And this tour is called the Must Hear Chicago. It's specifically for people who are blind or visually impaired and for their companions as well. Zabra, thanks for joining us this morning.
Sure. Very happy to, Sandy.
Great, great. Tell us a little bit about the tour. You know, I know this is something that you guys probably had never done before. So give us a little bit of background.
Sure. Well, kind of to back up a little bit, Jen Messengarb, who is our Director of Interpretation and Research for the Chicago Architecture Foundation, contacted me and she said, how would you like to work on a tour for the visually impaired blind, in celebration of the, ADA 25 anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. I'm in. We'll do it. So we put out a call to our docent body, and we number over 400, incidentally, our volunteer docents.
Sure.
And we got a nice group of five individuals who were very, very enthusiastic about doing it. Mm-hmm. And so they were joining the team of with me, with Jen Messengarb, and then the other five docents. So we put together this two-hour tour, and it's about Chicago's downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We're exploring the history of the historic skyscraper,
mm-hmm.
the first ones, in other words, and then the more modern ones. And so when we had our first team meeting, if you will, we decided on the buildings we wanted to use on the tour, and we decided on the route that we wanted to use. And at that point, we divided up. Everyone, just turned out, we had six buildings and six people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
sure.
So we each took a building, and then our second meeting was coming back and reviewing what we had each written. So this, as I say, it's a total team effort because we all put something into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of decided that the route was proper. We liked it. And so after that, now we're ready to go out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And about that time, when we were ready to test it out, and that was before you joined us, Sandy, with the demonstration tour.
Mm-hmm.
About that time, we got the exciting news that we were getting these 3D models, mm-hmm. of the buildings we were going to be, you know, having on the tour.
Sure.
So that increased our visual, but tactile.
Uh-huh, sure.
Tactile experience for people who would take that tour. We have other things as well that are tactile, like, talking about the glass curtain wall at the federal building, you know, feeling the wall, knowing that's the outside of the building. It's not inside somewhere and so on. Anyway, so we went out and tested the route, changed a few things, but we were at that point feeling we could have someone really take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Consumers, professionals, and we got consumers and professionals from the Lighthouse who came, and you were one of them, to come and to take our tour. And after that, of course, we changed it again because we had a session afterward, and, you know, you probably want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, I and one of my other colleagues from the Lighthouse, for those of you who might be curious, you know, how is a tour possible, an architecture tour for people with visual impairments? You know, it was a combination of, like you said, tactiles, you know, the 3D buildings, the actually feeling the texture of the walls. But also the audio description. Can you go back and maybe talk a little bit about how you went about describing?
And yeah, it was a challenge, Sandy, because when we develop a tour, either by writing it or taking over a tour that we're learning, we don't do it. I personally do quite a bit of tactile.
Okay.
Experience on my tours because I like it. I like to, you know, even if you are sighted,
yes,
a lot of people learn in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think it enhances the tour. So I usually do have people feel the walls of the building and so on. But anyway, we knew this was something that we really had to kind of enlarge upon,
mm-hmm.
you know. So what we do is we talk about where the building is centered on the, like, I'll just take the example of the Federal Center, which is the building that I chose to
mm-hmm.
do,
mm-hmm.
and I talked about how it's, you know, how it's positioned on the block and what was there before, which is a solid block of office buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Center, you know, allows, because it's a very tall, couple tall buildings, it allows for a lot of space, you know, it allows for a great open space.
Sure.
And so anyway, we kind of set the stage about where we are, and then a modern building, which is what the federal building is, the federal buildings are,
mm-hmm.
The supporting wall, the supports for some of the building are outside the building.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to go around those huge pilates or columns and just see that we're outside the building and we're going around it. So people hadn't, got a better feel, I think, for the space and the kind of building it was. Being
yeah.
a very square,
mm-hmm.
you know, modern kind of tower.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I told you and a few of the other docents, you know, I think that for me personally, just like you said, feeling that some of the parts were, you know, that were holding up the building aren't actually part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, a new realization for me,
right,
you know, because
right. Someone
who's blind and actually getting able to feel, you know, the concrete, the brick and stuff, and, you know, so
yeah.
I felt like I personally got a more in-depth experience with both the combination of the tactile and the audio.
Good.
You know,
good.
Description.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another thing about the federal buildings, you know, with the 3D models, I know that, is it the post office that's the
right,
smallest?
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
know, so that was a big thing for me, you know. Both of the other ones were taller,
mm-hmm.
but then, you know, with the post office, you know, being this tiny, much shorter
one
building.
One story, right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, I think that puts into perspective, you know, not just only for me, but for many people who probably, you know, have not seen these buildings or have not seen them in years or, you know, what have you.
Right, right. And I think you're absolutely right, because the one story is kind of just a perfect example of what they call universal space, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a building with completely open floor space. And that's what the modern building allowed, because, as you say, and you're citing this columns outside the building, mm-hmm. it allowed for the things that held up the building are through the wall, mm-hmm. through the floors on the outside of the building, and therefore you end up with this wonderful space that's just gigantic. You know, mm-hmm. you don't get columns in the way and so on. And I think that once you experience these outside columns, you understand how that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, definitely. And now, you know, as you well know, this interview isn't just to talk about what we at the Lighthouse experience, but also to invite, you know, other people who might be interested in taking this tour. You know, I believe you had one on September 12th, and you'll be holding two other tours, one in October and one in November?
There's one October 10th mm-hmm. and November 7th.
Okay.
And all the tours, they start at 10:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. and they're free. But you need to sign up, because there's a limited number of people who can go on the tours.
Sure.
And you do this by going to our website, which is Chicago Architecture, all one word, of course, mm-hmm. .org. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you will be able to find the spot, hopefully, where this is advertised, and sign up. And I also might add that your tour experience will probably be enhanced if you bring a sighted friend with you.
Okay.
Now, it's not necessary,
sure.
certainly, but you might have a fuller experience if you do.
Oh, for sure. For sure, definitely. And, you know, there's always that opportunity to hang out with another friend and learn more about Chicago, you know?
Right.
So now, is it open to everyone or just to people who are visually impaired? And
I think as far as the number of visually impaired, let's put it this way. If you bring a friend, that's fine. It would count as one.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like because what we're trying to do is to give this really a rich experience for people who are visually impaired or blind, and so therefore we've got quite a few staff, you know, people who are going, docents are going to be there, as well as other volunteers. So if you have a friend to come along, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus. It's a plus for you and a plus for us.
Great. Great, definitely. And now, where does the tour start off at?
The tour starts off at the center, at our main center, at 224 South Michigan
mm-hmm.
in Chicago. And we end there as well.
Okay.
So if you have a drop-off and a pick-up, you know where to do that.
Great. Great. And I know that, you know, part of the tour also involves, you know, actually exploring some of the inside of the building, like some of the tiles and some
mm-hmm.
of the materials. So, you know, even from there, you start getting that experience.
Right.
Of, you know.
Right.
Of
yeah.
Chicago. So.
Yeah, we start you right off.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. That's
yeah.
wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just want to say that this has been such a exciting thing for us, for this team that developed this, because I think at first we were a little apprehensive because we felt we weren't going to be able to deliver what we wanted to, and so it was a challenge. But I mean, you took the tour.
I was going to say, I think you guys pretty much succeeded. You guys were up to the challenge. So, and
thank you.
I learned a lot.
You know, it's just our pleasure to be able to do this, because we feel so good about we love to give tours. We love to show off the city. And this is like one more group of people that we can show the city to and help educate, because we feel our tours are very educational. We try to be...
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Good.
Where can people find out more about the tour? I know you mentioned online.
Yeah, the website would really be the place to go, because it'll, you know, there'll be a, a description of what it is, pretty much what I've said, but, you know, it'll be repeated again. The meeting place, the dates, the times, and all of that. And that should, you know, that should be, I think, pretty much what you'll need to register.
Great. Could you repeat the name of the website again?
Sure. It's chicagoarchitecture.org.
Okay. Well, there you have it, everyone. You know, if you want to learn more about the tour or register, you can go to chicagoarchitecture.org. And for more information about this event and about other Sandy's View topics, you can visit our blog, www.sandysview1.wordpress.com. Zebra, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and good luck with the rest of the tours.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I'm dedicated to educating the public because it's important for all of us to understand this debilitating disease. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because every 70 seconds someone in America is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. That's more than 1,000 people a day. Preliminary data show that exercise, a healthy diet, and keeping your mind active may help reduce your risk. At our website, ahaf.org, experts will answer your questions and address your concerns. Find out about promising research the Foundation funds and learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease. That's 1-800-437-2423.
You know, you were mentioning about your favorite store.
Yes.
We have to talk to them, see if we can get them to advertise with us.
That would be great.
Wouldn't that be a cool thing?
That would be cool.
So I'm going to let you talk about your favorite store in the Lettuce Turn Up the Beat.
And let me just preface this by saying that I am not receiving any sort of compensation or, you know.
We have to say
anything.
That.
Yeah, absolutely.
This neither am I. We're not getting anything out of it. The Lighthouse isn't getting anything out of it right now. Because if we were, we'd let you know.
Yeah, we would. But this is just purely because I think the store is great and I just recommend it. And I'm talking about Trader Joe's, which is a very, in fact, I went grocery shopping at Trader Joe's last week and spent, it was less than $150. It was, I want to say it was right around $150. But a couple weeks earlier, I had gone to one of the traditional grocery stores and I spent over $200. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
And the variety of food that I bought was not drastically different. You know, I mean, I change up my recipes every week from what I cook at home, but, you know, everything is essentially in the same pricing category. So, you know, that is a significant difference in pricing right there. So I think Trader Joe's is great. I think they have, you know, everything that you really need to have a healthy lifestyle, and they're incredibly affordable too. So I'm going to go over kind of my list of my favorite things that you can get at Trader Joe's.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yes.
So I think first and foremost, Trader Joe's does offer seasonal, organic, affordable produce. And I think that's huge, because if you go to any even traditional grocery stores, I'm not even talking about the big health food store, I'm talking about even traditional grocery stores, their organic produce is going to be pricey. But at Trader Joe's, it's incredibly affordable. And in fact, I can get one of the grocery stores, the one that I spent over $200 at, their avocados are $2 a piece. $2 a piece!
Wow.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, but didn't
to
they
me.
Have a, because of the lack of water in California, isn't that a problem?
I would imagine, but you know what? That's the most expensive I've ever seen them, even at other grocery stores. Trader Joe's, however, you can get a pack of four for, I want to say, like $3.99 or something.
Really?
So they run about a dollar a piece.
Right.
Yeah.
Are they the same size?
They're a little bit smaller, but they're still, I mean, they're fine. There are sides of avocado.
Sure.
So I love, you know, and we've talked about avocados before. We could live off of avocado. So that makes me very happy. So I love that. And it's just one example of how affordable their produce really is. They have uncured turkey bacon. So if you, you know, if you love bacon, you can't live without it. They have a really nice option. It's uncured, so it's, you know, not full of nitrates and sodium.
And you know what? It's very good, too.
It is.
It
yes.
is good.
It's very tasty.
Yep.
They have organic maple syrup for, I want to say, $5.99, which if you go to a traditional grocery store, organic maple, 100% maple syrup, runs anywhere from usually $8 up. So Trader Joe's, you can get it for, you know, a few dollars less.
Sure.
Organic coconut oil is kind of the same deal. Coconut oil, and I'm going to talk about oils next week, but coconut oil is one of the few oils that is recommended for consumption.
Sure.
It cooks at a very high heat, so it's really good for that. And it's $5.99. And again, at any traditional grocery store, you're not paying less than $8 for it.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, so Trader Joe's, and it's organic, it's unrefined, so it's everything you want in a coconut oil at a very reasonable price. They have organic raw honey, which I did try before. My vegans don't eat honey because it's a byproduct of bees. But in my pre-vegan days, I did try their organic raw honey, and it was divine. I mean, it just tasted delicious.
But it's not an animal, it's a bug.
Bees are not bugs. Bees are essential to our well-being as humans, and we don't give them enough credit.
The bug.
Oh, please.
Go ahead.
Anyway, they have chocolate chips, which I love, which are vegan, and they're actually called what vegans call accidentally vegan, which means they're not intending to be vegan. Like, that's not their purpose, but just how they're made is they don't have any dairy product in it. So they're we
not,
like that.
They're not made from a bug.
They're not made from a bug.
Okay, go ahead.
At least we hope not.
Right.
They have a great section that's full of, I mean, dozens and dozens of different types of trail mixes, nuts. I mean, at traditional grocery stores, if you try to buy a bag of walnuts, it's going to cost you $9.
Right.
But you can buy, you know, $6, $5 less. You can buy nuts at Trader Joe's.
And I've gotten to be a fan of that stuff, believe
yeah.
it or not. I really have.
Absolutely. Well, nuts are very good for
or
you.
Or how about granola in the morning with a little yogurt?
Yes,
that?
But you just have to be careful. You have to be careful of granola because it can be very loaded with sugar. I'm just telling you, don't give me the look. Granola can be good for you.
How about grape nuts?
Grape nuts are actually very good for you.
I love grape
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah, grape nuts are very good for you. If you do grape nuts with like some fresh blueberries or something, yeah, it's really, really
talking
nice.
Talking my language,
yeah,
girl.
That's a good breakfast.
Go ahead.
Good breakfast. In that same, so Trader Joe's has a whole, it's not an aisle, but it's a whole section where they've got bags of nuts and trail mixes and dried fruit. So, I mean, anything that you can dream of, they have in this section. And, you know, things aren't going to run you more than $6 there. And, you know, and you go to, again, if you try to buy walnuts at Jewel or something, you're
We don't mention
it. Oh, did I say it? Can
that's okay.
Do I have to retake it?
No, that's okay. You can take it back.
Okay, I take it back.
That's right.
I take it back. Just in general, at traditional grocery stores, you know, nuts are a pricier item. And then we've got something else that I really love at Trader Joe's. They have a great frozen food section. And you have to be careful. Trader Joe's doesn't, you know, they do have a lot of processed foods. They do still sell a lot of desserts and whatnot. And, you know, it's not, I know, I love it too. Their little bakery section is so delicious. But it's not like you walk into Trader Joe's and it's just a free-for-all. You can get everything you want, and it's all 100% healthy and good for you.
Eclairs.
I know. Ugh. So good. And they've got these, like, carrot cake whoopie pies.
I love carrot cake.
Oh, my gosh, me too. And these whoopie pies are like, they have these delicious carrot cake like things, and then in the middle they've got those cream cheese whipped cream. Oh my gosh, I could eat a whole like bite of. I could eat a whole thing of them. Anyway, I digress. I'm getting hungry. It's
carrot cake
time.
Whoopie pie.
I know. So in their section, in their frozen food section, they have a great vegetarian tamale, and their tamales are really, really good.
Are they good?
Very good. They've got frozen organic fruit for smoothies, which again will run you, I think, $2.98 for like organic a bag of organic blueberries, a bag of organic berries. Whereas a traditional grocery store, you're paying, you know, $7-$8 for frozen.
Well,
frozen
you know,
fruit.
In the traditional store, they see an opportunity to make a lot of money off of something. So,
right, exactly, yeah, exactly. And then most of the chips that they have there are pretty, you know, they're as good as they can be for chips.
I like vegetable chips.
I do too. I do
veggie
too.
Veggie chips?
Yeah, they're very good.
Oh, my goodness, are they good?
They're very good. Yeah, they've got a sweet potato chip there that I love, and it's just like sweet potatoes, salt, and whatever oil they use to fry them up. So, I mean, again, not healthy for you, but if you look at the back of a traditional chip, you've got a laundry list of ingredients, most of which you've never heard of. At Trader Joe's, it's usually sweet potatoes, you know, sea salt, oil.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as snacking goes, it's as good as it can get. And then they have lots of different pastas, like quinoa pasta, brown rice pasta, which are all certainly, I'm getting the look from you again, which are better alternatives than white, you know, bleached.
Do they sell kale?
Oh, yeah, of course they sell kale.
What's the new hot item now? Kale's kind of stepped to the...
Watercress is kind of a big thing right now.
I like watercress.
I like watercress, too. Actually, I put it in my smoothies, and it's quite tasty.
I like water chestnuts, too, or whatever they're called.
Yeah, water chestnuts.
The white things,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah,
ooh,
the crunchy ones.
Ooh,
yeah,
put that in stuffing at the Thanksgiving time?
It's got it adds a nice texture, for sure.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
I agree.
It's great.
I agree.
So now we can find all of this at...
Trader Joe's. Any Trader Joe's.
If they don't catch it on this week's show on Saturday morning, then get it on Chris Radio on Wednesday night.
I want to add one more thing.
And we're going to stream, by the way, too, so you can get it on the stream for those of you who don't have the special receivers. So
which makes
ahead.
Me very happy. And I want to add one more thing.
Yes.
I don't know how I missed this, but Trader Joe's has all-natural peanut butters and almond butters. They're all-natural peanut butter, which I've mentioned before. You want your peanut butter to just be either peanuts or peanuts and salt. That's all you want. Trader Joe's peanut butter is $2.99 for all-natural.
Really?
But you'd never find that price at a traditional
grocery store. You
know what?
I've tried almond butter. I actually like it.
Yeah, it's very good. Okay. And they have all-natural almond butter there, too, which is a little bit more expensive just because almond butter is, but not, again, it's not compared to what you pay, you know, at your neighborhood grocery.
That's right. That's it. And we can find this whole list of wonderful things at Trader Joe's on our website, which is?
Chicago Beacon, which is our Facebook page
or
on Twitter at Chicago Beacon.
That's right. Absolutely. And then, like I said, Wednesday night, whether you have a radio or not, you can hear our stream, and the Beacon will be back on again on Wednesday evening. So that'll do it.
Thank you
very much.
My pleasure.
Oils next week, huh?
Oils.
Yeah, that's right. There's an old country song that says, rub it in. Rub it in.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, I won't be singing that, but maybe you can.
No, I won't.
Okay.
People are eating at this hour. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. From its simple beginnings right here on Chicago's West Side, where it was founded in 1906, it has grown into one of America's most comprehensive social service agencies, serving people who are blind or visually impaired. Today, the Chicago Lighthouse offers world-class services in vision care, adaptive technology, job training and placement, rehabilitation, education, and many other areas. As more and more elderly Americans cope with vision loss, the Lighthouse will face greater challenges in expanding its critical programs. To see how you can help, please call 312-666-1331. Or visit us at chicagolighthouse.org. The Chicago Lighthouse, seeing what's possible for more than 100 years.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Any daughter would do the same. But soon enough, he needed help doing more things, and it was up to me to be his personal shopper and financial manager, too. And before I knew it, Dad moved in with me. So I became his cook, his personal assistant, his physical therapist, and even his nurse. When I started taking care of Dad, I didn't realize all the roles I'd have to play. But no matter what, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the many roles you play. And to help, we created an online caregiving resource center. At aarp.org/caregiving, you can find resources and connect with the caregiving community. Together, we can better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to learn more. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nah, you don't want me to sing that song.
I don't.
It's a great country song, though. We used to play it when I used to do overnights at a radio station further down the dial when they were playing country music.
Yes.
That was one of the big requests from the truckers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can you play Rub It In?
That's hilarious.
Say it was good. It was
I
really
like when
good.
You sing. You like have this old school kind of like loungy club voice. I like it.
The lounge lizard
style. Yeah,
sound.
I love it. little Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank is rolling over in his grave. Drawing a comparison there. You know? But no, thank you very much.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I can sing in five flat. I've said this before. It's an old joke. My Stacey would tell me, get new material. But I could sing in five flats and get thrown out of all of them.
Oh,
speaking of getting thrown out of places. Brian Hawkins is here with Tom Pertzky, and we're not going to throw him out.
We're not. We're going to let him do the thing that they do.
Let him come in here and do their thing. I wonder if they got rid of that swing yet on the front porch there, you know, in that little house.
Well,
there.
Let's see. We are. No, probably not.
In
it's
the corner?
It's still, you know.
Go sit out there in your snowsuit.
In my only worry,
Brian, good morning.
Good morning. I wasn't sure when to jump in there. I didn't want to step on Stevie.
Yeah, yeah. I have a new theme song. Instead of Tom's Corner, we're going to do Stevie Wonder from now on.
I Wish. Is that the name of it?
I Wish.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I wish for all kinds of good things.
Now, you might remember, folks, Tom went to the CSUN conference last week, and he ran into someone very special, huh?
Yeah, we were enjoying this International Technology Conference, and companies from all over the world there to highlight the new products and all the things that are available for blind, low vision, and other disabilities as well. So it's a way that we can keep up with all the vendors for the whole year. And Stevie Wonder decided to stop by. And, of course, he had an entourage with him. And we've seen him there before because he kind of likes technology and how to use it. Yeah. And so then I saw him over by the booth where our own Misa Meng was working with him on showing him the new BrainPort device, which is the camera that works with an array of pixels that sit on your tongue to help you to find all kinds of things in the room and things like that. And the highlight of the show was HumanWare's new, it's a Braille device called the Braille Note Touch 32. And the Touch is a new Android consumer off-the-shelf item that for the first time a blind person can operate very well. And it's just got a sleek new cover. Persons who can read Braille has a refreshable Braille display right incorporated into the little holder that holds the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And so now for the first time, a person who is blind can use that kind of a tablet, get into, you know, Google Docs, get into all the things that the Android tablet will offer. Plus, you have the screen there, too. So a person who's sighted, let's say a student maybe working with a teacher, can see what the person's typing.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing to me that you would just place your fingers on the tablet, any old place. You wouldn't have to hit any buttons and just start typing in Braille using those three fingers on each side. And the accuracy of this device was amazing. And you can actually just, you don't have to find the buttons or where to touch. You just start typing right on the surface of the unit. So our friend Peter Tusick, who used to work for HumanWare, was able to spend about an hour with Stevie Wonder, showing him how to use it, and that was kind of fun. And then we had a reception at 5 o'clock that evening, and Stevie came by and was hanging out with us for about an hour and a half. So it was fun. I got my picture taken with him. I guess they put it up on the Chicago Lighthouse Facebook page.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can check us out there if you're on Facebook. So it was pretty amazing. But the CSUN conference just offers an opportunity for me and for all of us to learn what's new, what's out there to help people who are blind or those who have low vision. I noticed there was lots of low vision companies coming, it seems like each year, from Asia, that are really used to manufacture products for some of the other groups like Optilec and others, and now they're coming over here direct under their own company names. So that was pretty interesting for me to see. So I think the competition is heating up. More and more people are being diagnosed, for instance, with macular degeneration. And those 78 million baby boomers who are turning 65 are really going to impact the marketplace. About 1 in 6 over 65 is getting macular degeneration. So in the next 25 years, it will more than double if there's a cure that's not found, and we don't anticipate that there would be. So all these devices and all this competition, I think, is good for the consumer. There's lots of hope and lots of help for people. And this last week we had a nice show in Arlington Heights, and we had 128 people came to our show.
Wow.
we were swamped, but it was interesting because so many families that came did not know about some of the devices that are out there to help.
Right.
And it was pretty amazing. So the need is out there, and there's lots of new technology. So we are looking forward to highlighting more of that throughout the year here.
Now, there was another product that you mentioned, the Panda HD, that you saw at CSUN.
Yeah, right. The Zoom Max is a popular brand that's come over from Asia, and they had a lower cost unit called the Panda, which we have had. And the Panda HD was pretty interesting. It had a nice high-definition screen, and it retails for $2,095. So many of the HD units have been over $3,000. So that was interesting to find out. So we are going to highlight that in our store in an upcoming days. And keep in touch with us because we have lots of specials coming up. Of different prices, and we're going to pass along some of the savings to our consumers directly.
Okay.
So people, this would be a good time of the year to look into purchasing technology if you need something to help you.
And so, on the road again?
On the road. Coming up this Tuesday, April 5th, we will be at the Salt Creek Room again at Schaumburg Village. Friendship Village, I mean, in Schaumburg. Schaumburg Village. I think that's called Woodfield Mall, isn't it?
Right.
So April 5th, from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. It's an open house. It's free. It's open to the public. And we will be there with many, many pieces of technology. April 14th, from 10 to 3, we'll be Southside at the Palos Hills Community Center. And so that's a very popular location for us. We got many other shows coming up later in the month. We've got April 20th. We're going to be in Frankfort at the Frankfort Township office. And that's, again, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3. We're sponsored by the Lions Clubs of Illinois, who have been generous enough to help us with a van and lots of products that we can bring out into the community. Tuesday, May 3rd, we're going to be at the Senior Star at Weber Place out in Romeoville, which we usually go there twice a year.
Okay.
And they like us to come out that way. So lots of things happening here.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
Yep. So we're tight now with Stevie, and we're...
Is he going to make an appearance at the Lighthouse anytime soon?
I told him about it, you know. And so who knows? We'll see. One of his people I talked to was from Chicago, and he was quite excited to talk to us. So
okay.
It was pretty neat. It's pretty neat.
Now, if a person wants to, they still can get on a mailing list to get notices for all the road shows, right?
Yeah, right. So if you're 10 miles within a show, we can send you a large print postcard. And all you do is call our 800 number, 800-919-3375, which is our retail store called Tools for Living. And you can let Bridget or Noreen know that you'd like to be on the list, and we will add you to the list. And like I said, within 10 miles of any show, our mailing service will send you a large print postcard. If you'd like to just go on the website and just click on events, in very bold and large blocks letters there, you can go down the calendar and see every show that's listed for us. And we've got a lot of them coming up, April, May, June. So we look forward to getting out and meeting all those people. 128 people last week. I don't know. We're going to have to bring two more staff or something because it was pretty wild.
I bet. All right. Well, folks, that's Tom Spersky, fresh back from the CSUNG conference in Arizona. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
That's it.
That's
going to do it for us this week.
Yeah, it really is.
So you're going somewhere exotic and you don't know where.
I don't know. For my 40th birthday, my husband's taking, my mom is flying in from California to watch the kids for a week.
Wow, you'll probably have a little sarong on, you know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Sarong as far as
my husband and I have never had a vacation together.
Really?
Yeah. True. I mean, little TJ came along right away.
They're
so
fun. It's vacations are fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm looking
forward
to it.
You'll go your way, he'll go his way.
You know what? We actually do very well when we don't have the outside stressors of life to manage.
I bet you do. Yeah,
we
a lot of people do.
We do.
Well, anyway, speaking of outside stressors, we don't want to stress the guys from Mighty House out because they're waiting in the hallway. But we do want to thank Dr. Janet Slick for her backing and support, as well as the board at the Chicago Lighthouse for our Beacon program now in its 8th year. And, of course, Sandra Murillo, our associate producer who comes up with these great stories, even the yoga story that you like.
Love it.
She's been experimenting, looking around the world and where we can call and get some instant feedback. We're actually happy about that. Brian Hawkins, our executive producer, now associate, our assistant director at Chris Radio, does a great job in producing this show every week. I'm Bill Schurer.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And we will be back here for the, believe it or not, middle of October show. Have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk.